As we think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, which many people celebrate at this time of year, I want us to just imagine for a moment how confusing Christmas must be to a watching world, to people who don't really grapple with the Bible story of what happened. Year after year, there are many paradoxes about Christmas. The strange bringing together of Christmas time, Christianity, and a sort of carnival mentality. The humility and poverty of the stable, as compared with the wealth and sometimes the indulgence of gift-giving. The quietness of Bethlehem, the din of a shopping centre like Brent Cross. The seriousness of the incarnation, God becoming man. With the foolish behaviour sometimes in drunken parties. The bling of Christmas decorations. And we read about the star of heaven. The toys and presents that children are given. The gifts of the wise men. Angels confused with flying reindeer. Mary and Joseph and the North Pole elves. Strange things come together, don't they? The confusion, though, has reached epic proportions because this year a Christmas card has been produced by the Yorkshire-based gift firm Love Leila. You would be shocked, I would imagine, most of you, if you received one of those Christmas cards. The most popular one says, Mary just needs to admit she slept with someone else. Now, why is our blasphemous secular society doing that? What is happening when someone is appointed to one of the leading roles, Archbishop of York in the Church of England, who says that the Bible must bow to that secular culture? Well, what is happening is the supernatural is being taken out of the birth of Jesus Christ. If we approach the birth of the Lord Jesus from the standpoint of the Old Testament prophets, they foretold hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus of this child who would be born, the son who would be given, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. When we read of the faith of Mary and Joseph, trusting in the Lord, this supernatural event, a virgin giving birth to a child, the announcement of the angels, the shepherds, their response, the wise men, their response, as they saw the star. Or even when we think of the standpoint of the innkeeper who said, no room at the inn, you may be saying in your life this morning, no room for Jesus. Or even the standpoint of Herod, where there was a blind hatred of the idea that another king was going to be born. I've read to you from Philippians 2 because here's something we need to grasp as our society approaches Christmas time. But the Bible tells us the birth of Jesus, Christmas time, reveals to us the grace of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. I'm saying that the Bible tells you then this morning that God has a grace attitude towards you. Though he was God, the Lord Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. Why did he do that? Though he was God, the Lord Jesus Christ took on the form of a servant. Why did he do that? Though he was God, the Lord Jesus Christ was born in the likeness of human flesh. Why did he do that? And the Bible's answer is, he did it for us. Here's the grace of God to us. Now, there's a human pride that says, I don't want grace. I don't need grace. I don't want forgiveness from God. I want to live as I like. I don't want a new life from God. Flannery O'Connor illustrates that reality in her short story, Revelation. Her main character is a woman called Mrs. Turpin. And she sits in the doctor's waiting room looking at everyone who's waiting in the seats around her. And the story opens with this sentence, Mrs. Turpin always noticed people's feet. And that's O'Connor's way of saying, Mrs. Turpin always looked down on everyone she met. Because her great sin was not an easily spotted outward sin, but it was the inner sin of pride. Mrs. Turpin was blind to who she really was and as to how she really lived. And it may be you this morning. You may be blind to who you really are, that you are actually a needy person before God. And you may be blind as to how you really live. There may be outward obvious sins that everyone sees, but there can be inner sins of the heart, like Mrs. Turpin's. Pride, jealousy, envy. We all have something of a Mrs. Turpin inside us. And in the waiting room of life then, we're wondering, what in the world is wrong with everyone else? And we're thankful we're not like them. And that's pride. It bolsters our self-esteem. It proves that we matter. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will make myself of no reputation, so that you might know a way of forgiveness before God. The Lord Jesus Christ said that he was willing to become a servant, that he could come and rescue, save, help us. The Lord Jesus Christ said that he would take a true humanity to himself so that people like us can know God. And the Bible is saying to you this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and reveals to you the grace of God, the undeserved kindness of God. I wonder if you have ever been amazed at the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus could have declared that his glory was too precious to lay aside for sinners. He could have said that his position was too high to condescend to come into this world for sinners. He could have declared that his heavenly possessions were too valuable to part with them to come into this world for sinners. He could have said that his blood was too precious to shed for sinners. He could have said that his hands were too holy to be pierced for sinners. He could have said that his life was too important to be laid down for sinners. The Bible tells you and me this morning the incarnation, the coming of Jesus into the world, is the most amazing act of grace, humility, love that this world has ever seen. That the Lord Jesus Christ was laying his glory aside to come into this world to accomplish salvation for us. So the Bible's declaration is that Christmas, the coming of Jesus Christ, reveals to us the grace of God. I wonder if you have ever been gripped by that. You thought to yourself, this is amazing grace. It's a sweet sound that saves a wretch, someone lost before God, not knowing the way to God, like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I've discovered the grace of God in Jesus Christ. I was blind, I just couldn't see it. But now I see. I've sent a little picture of a grandchild hiding behind the Christmas tree, playing hide and seek. And the little child was hiding behind the Christmas tree with her hands over her eyes like this. Because she had her hands over her eyes, nobody could see her. And you smile with the naivety of a little child. But you know, sometimes we are like that before God. We put our hands over our eyes. We say, I don't need God. And we're blind to our need of him. And the first work of God often in a person's heart and life is to take the hands away, wake you up, that actually were you to meet with God today. By nature and by choice, we're all needy people before God because all have sinned and come short of his glory. We need rescue. We need grace. We need salvation. Christmas reveals to us the grace of God. And then secondly, Christian reveals to us the gifts of God. Verse 8. The Lord Jesus, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, when people think about the gifts of Christmas time, if they have a link to the Bible, they think of the gifts brought by the wise men to the Lord Jesus Christ, the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But here Paul reveals a different set of gifts. Three gifts of God revealed. The gift of Christ's humility, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ leave his throne in heaven to come to a manger in Bethlehem? And the Bible tells us that since none of us can get to heaven by our own efforts, we can never make it before God by what we do. The Lord Jesus Christ therefore humbled himself and came into this world. We couldn't get to God, so God came to us. God humbled himself. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. And the Bible is telling us that if the Lord Jesus Christ had not humbled himself and come into this world in the person of his Son, we would never be reconciled to God. We would be lost, hopeless, helpless, on a broad road leading to destruction. Here's a way for you to know God, because Jesus humbled himself. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He is a real person who comes into this world, but he comes into this world from his glory in heaven. He humbles himself. So you see then that the God of the Bible isn't a God like Allah, who reigns and rules with an iron fist. Someone who would never stoop to the indignity of coming into this world. Someone who would never condescend to anything that would dishonor him in some way. Allah in a manger. Allah in an animal feeding trough. Oh no, says Islam. Islam is often called an honor religion. Because in Islam then, to dishonor Allah, to dishonor Muhammad too, is one of the worst sins you can commit. Those who dishonor Allah or dishonor Muhammad stir great emotions in Muslims. That's why sometimes church buildings are set on fire or even people are killed if they dishonor Allah, dishonor Muhammad. But you see, the Bible is saying the one true living God is not like that. The God of the Bible, in his Son Jesus Christ, is willing to lay his glory aside and to come to be with us and live among us, yet without sin. The Lord Jesus living a life of hardship and suffering for the sake of righteousness, but coming down. His humility. It's why Christians rejoice then to think that God was willing to do this in his Son, Jesus Christ, be born in a manger. God coming to find us, to rescue us. And if God had never humbled himself, we would never be reconciled to God. The gift of Christ's humility, the gift of Christ's obedience. He humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death. Here's a gift that we really need to cancel out our disobedience. God says yes, we say no. God says no, we say yes. We could never get right with God because of our disobedience. God must do something. And God wants to exchange, for all who trust in Jesus Christ, exchange everything that we've ever done wrong for everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did right. Your disobedience, the Lord Jesus Christ's obedience. And another name for our disobedience is sin. How are we going to find a life of obedience before God? Well, none of us will achieve it. But there is someone who has achieved it for us. We trust in Jesus Christ, who humbled himself And he was found in appearance of as a man, and he humbled himself and became obedient. Every time God said yes, Jesus said yes. Every time God said no, Jesus said no. His obedience for our disobedience. And then this third gift, which is perhaps the most amazing of all, where the Bible tells you that he became obedient, Jesus became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's why you can't separate the coming of Jesus Christ into this world from the cross. The very name Jesus is given. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He does it by willingly dying on the cross. They're bearing our sins, the punishment for them, so that we could receive the greatest gift ever. Forgiveness, reconciliation, right with God through Jesus Christ. Have you received these gifts this morning? The gift of Christ's humility. You say, he came into this world to save me. The gift of Christ's obedience. You say, Christ lived a life of obedience. It was for me. I've disobeyed God in so many ways. And I'm trusting in Jesus, his obedience for me. The gift of Christ's death. You say he died on the cross for my sins. My Savior, he died for me. So you need to receive those gifts. When someone gives you a gift, there are people sometimes receive gifts and the gift remains unopened. Or they throw them away, they cast them aside. No, you need to receive the gift. To as many as received him, the Bible says, to them God gives the right to be called the children of God. So Christmas reveals the grace of God. Christmas reveals the gifts of God. And then thirdly, Christmas reveals the glory of God. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. Where is Jesus now? The Saviour who came into the world, who lived a life of obedience, who died on the cross, then rose from the dead. The Bible's account is he goes back to heaven. The highest place that heaven affords is now his by sovereign right. He's accomplished redemption for us. Listen to what it was like as heaven received back its king. As the Lord Jesus returns to heaven, all the angels and archangels and all in heaven cry out, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The Lord Jesus returning back in glory to heaven. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Oh, there was a great battle that took place at the cross. We're going to think about it tonight. The serpent bruised the heel of the seed of the woman. But he crushed the serpent's head with his heel. The battle at the cross where Jesus gains the victory for us. Christ the victor. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The King of glory returning to heaven. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So now all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been given that place which is his by sovereign right. That place which he was willing to lay aside to accomplish salvation for us. But he never laid aside who he really is. The eternal Son of God, and he now holds that place of authority. One day he will come as judge of living and dead. You will meet him as your judge. I will. All of us will. And when you meet him, will you be ready to meet him? Forgiven, right with God, at peace with God. Jesus has been given the highest name. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, Paul says. What's the name given to Jesus, which is now above every name? The name Jesus is Lord. What does it mean to call Jesus Lord? If you say this morning, my Lord Jesus, what does it mean? Well, it means you acknowledge that he really is God. It took God the Son of God, to rescue you. That's why he came. You say, my Lord, my God. You believe that everything now in your life is under his control. Everything in the world actually is under his control. But you willingly hand over your life to him. You commit your life to him. You say, Jesus, my Lord. Have you committed your life to this Savior? God has now given him the highest name. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus will thirdly be given the highest praise, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So I'm saying this morning, do you need to receive the gift of God's grace this morning? We all need grace, the undeserved kindness of God. Are you ready to receive those gifts of God? Christ's humility, he came to save you. His obedience, he came to live a life of holy obedience to God, because we can't live that life. He came to live a life of obedience, but then willingly laid it down at the cross, bearing our sin, the sin bearer, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And through him you experience something of the glory of God in your life. So I'm saying, are you willing to make Jesus Christ, number one, Lord in your life? Your Savior, your King. The Bible is saying this morning, one day your knee will bow and your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you do that in this life, what happens? Romans 10 verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Have you made that confession this morning? You said, yes, Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, my King. I willingly commit my life to him. I believe from the heart that he's a living Savior. God raised him from the dead. You know God's salvation. Saved from hell and sin and judgment. God gives you this morning the opportunity to make that confession. How terrible it would be if you were to confess Jesus Christ as Lord under God's condemnation. Because you've refused to trust him, refused to respond to him in repentance and faith in this world. How terrible it would be to then realize that your unbelief in this world was folly, was madness, was rebellion. So make that confession now, says the Bible. Joyfully make it now. Come to God with thankfulness and praise that this is the God of salvation who came to rescue you. Turn from an old way of life based just on yourself. Self first, self second, self third. No. Jesus first, Jesus second, Jesus third. Put him in the right place, Lord of your life. To know the joy of forgiveness of sins. You know, sin is a heavy burden. To go around knowing, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't thought that. And one day for all those things to be placarded before the world at the judgment of God. Regret. And you can know the burden lifted and the joy of forgiveness of sins. To say the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed, has washed away, has removed all sin. I'm so glad it says all sin in the Bible. All sins removed by Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Lots of people, Christmas time coming, and they receive Christmas cards and presents and hear of peace, but have no real peace inwardly because they don't first have peace with God. You can't really know peace until first you have peace with God. You say, if my life was to end, I'm at peace because I know I have peace with God. Now that brings an inner peace for you. It brings a peace amongst people actually as well. But there's a peace with God. Do you have peace with God? And have a sure home of heaven. A week or two ago, we were here in the church. You're thinking of someone from the church who had died. Funeral service was held here. What a great thing it is to be able to say to a family when someone has died, friends, when someone has died, a colleague, when someone has died, that though they've died, there is a sure and certain hope of resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see, I can only really say that at the graveside of a Christian. That this person has died, but I have a sure and certain hope of resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. But for someone who's not a Christian, who's facing the judge of all the earth, the judge who will do all things well and all things right, but that sure and certain hope of resurrection to eternal life, it's not based on pride, it's not based on what we've done or achieved or earned or merited. It's all based on trusting in Jesus Christ. Do you have a sure home of heaven? Do you know peace with God? Are your sins forgiven? The Bible is saying this morning, that's all linked up to why Jesus Christ came. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning, we praise you for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonder this is to us. The gift of God's grace towards us in his Son. These gifts that Christ comes and brings to us. A life of humility, coming to a manger to be born there. A life of holy obedience. And yet willingly upon the cross laying down his life for us. What a wonder this is for us. And then as we rejoice and as we think about the wonder of Jesus Christ is coming into this world, we now know that to him all authority is given in heaven and earth. He's returned back to heaven. He's the eternal Son of God. One day before him, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. We thank you, Lord, for those this morning here who make that confession gladly, willingly, in repentance, in faith, trusting in this Saviour. We pray, Lord, it'll be the confession of all of us this Christmas time. We come to you now and ask that you will hear us as we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're singing lots of hymns this morning, so many that I can't fit them all on the board. But we've got another hymn, 206. And actually, this hymn is an amazing hymn of Charles Wesley. It's my favourite hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And tonight we're going to sing it again, actually, because in the last verse he talks about rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Well, we'll think about that more tonight, but we can sing it with thankfulness this morning too. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. 206, and we'll stand to sing. now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and with all God's people, both this day and even forevermore. Amen.